The song has been going through my mind, Abide With Me. We used it for the third time in a row. I've been waking up with this song going through my mind. And it takes me back to some awesome scriptures. John 15 talks about abiding. John 15, 4 and 5 say, Abide in me, Jesus said, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Isaiah 43, last week I referred to verses 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I feel like these verses are real strong on us this week, the first week of the new year. Abiding in him. The song says, abide with me. Actually, the scripture says, in me. The dove represents the Holy Spirit. A dove is not the Holy Spirit. It represents the Holy Spirit. I have been greatly encouraged this week. New Year's Day, I sent out a Happy New Year from Pam and I to everyone that I could. If you didn't get one, join the prayer tree. See Ray Bates and join the prayer tree. That gets it out to a lot of people. Don't have everyone's number, have a new phone, lost all my contacts, started over. That's always frustrating. So as people contact me, I save their number and rebuilding my contacts and getting some from my wife's phone. But I had many, many contacts over the years. But New Year's Day, I apologize if you didn't receive this. If you're not on the prayer circle or the prayer tree, and you can join the prayer tree by just saying something to Ray and she'll put you on. But I often use that to get something out or something we need to let everybody know. But I was so encouraged and did not see this coming. I asked the Lord to encourage me in 2019. I was so encouraged by the responses I got from all of you. My wife noticed for 2 days there I was just ecstatic. Because in that text, wishing you a Happy New Year, I asked you to let me know what your personal goals were for the year. And you talk about encouraged. The silent majority spoke. You remember a number of years ago when George W. Bush ran for second term. Whether you liked him or not, it's irrelevant, but I want to share an example. When he ran for a second term and we'd gone through Desert Storm and different things and the majority of the country liked how he stood up and for America. And so the news media was going on and on like they always do, and they were talking about how it's going to be close election, close election, close election, close election. Well, it was an absolute landslide to put Bush back in for another 4 years. And then the news media began saying, well, we had it wrong. The majority have spoken. The silent majority have spoken. We were hearing all the squeaky voices out there, but they were a very small percentage of how people really felt. The election proved that the majority felt different. And I think sometimes, and I said this in staff meeting the other day, I think sometimes we can get focused on a little problem here and a little problem there, and it can become pretty noisy to us, and we have to be careful of focusing on that or and I say this with sensitivity, there can be a handful of struggles that need tended to and matter. But you can get focused on that. You know, you can do that in life. You can get focused on that you don't have quite enough money for the tax bill and you forget that God blessed you with a beautiful home and a nice car and a family and on it goes. It's easy to get focused on the wrong things. And that's why the Bible says, if there be anything lovely, anything good of good report, think on these things in Philippians. But the majority spoke, and you talk about encouraged. I mean, I got texts all day, New Year's Day, from people. I did. And they weren't messing around about it. You know, they weren't, this wasn't, one of my goals is, you know, to get my house paid for. That, no, no. These were goals, number one. You know, I got a text from a guy, I won't say his name, that's quiet as can be. He's quiet as can be. I don't know that he's, one-on-one time we've talked, but I don't know in a service I've ever seen any emotion out of him. He sent me a text this long. And the first one was, I want to be more like Jesus this year. You know, and on and on and on it went. And I was so encouraged reading these texts. I told Vince and Brian, I said, in the staff meeting, I said, you know, this is the majority have spoken. And they are sharing what they want to be. And it was moving. I want to know God better. I want to spend more time with God. I want to be an extension of Jesus at my workplace. And how encouraging that is, putting this stuff on and wearing it. God, make me every day what you want me to be. So the whole abide with me thing, because I think there was a common denominator in the texts. There was a common denominator. And that was that people wanted to spend more time with God. I saw that in there real frequently. People want to spend more time with God. So this message today, and maybe it'll be a little shorter, you think? I was thinking, man, I'm overdoing it. We need to shorten it. I was going to have you all set your phones for 35 minutes, but no. Because when all the phones went off, I would get so sidetracked and I'd lose my thought, and then you'd forget what the message was. And then instead of thinking about the message, you'd be talking about, oh, we did a cool thing at church. Our phones all went off at the same time and it quieted our pastor. So we're not doing that. But somebody is looking at their watch, I see. But anyway, I have been speaking plenty long. Today is probably the most elementary message you've ever heard from me. This is just a simple 101, you know, message. This is, but I believe that it is of God. I believe what you want this year is what I'm illustrating right here. If I read your text right, and if you didn't get one, send me one. Okay, and I didn't keep score. I didn't keep score. I deleted, so I wouldn't remember who did and who didn't. So we're not upset anybody. But I believe what you're saying to me is that this is what you want. You want the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He's not hung on titles. He's all kinds of things. He's the Comforter. He's the Redeemer. He manifests Himself to us, Jesus does, through the Holy Spirit here on earth. And I believe this is what you want. And I'll tell you what, if you can get Jesus right here at the center, right by your heart, right here where the blood flows from, and involved in the details of your life, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. All of your ways. You know, I almost wondered if we could get somebody to make these. They're a little hard to find. But if we get somebody to make these, and I thought maybe about giving them out and daring you to wear them to work. Ooh, that'd get us attention. Daring you to wear it to work. And just be honest. Somebody says, what does that represent? That represents God's Spirit. What's that about? Because I won't behave very well unless I remember. I'm flesh. Anybody flesh? I'm flesh and blood. Anybody been through some things that's left you with scars? Hello? Whole place. I believe that when you come to the altar on Sunday, you're sincere as it gets. I don't think it gets any more sincere than that. I believe that when we're singing Abide With Me the Alleys, we're a church of Alleys. I just realized that. Allie Paul singing Priceless and Allie Turley singing This Is My Desire. And I see your expressions. You're sincere. I know you are. What we got to do in 2019 is, Lord, help me get this in here to where it directs everything. Out of the heart come all the issues of life. The heart's a wellspring, the Scripture says. So we got to get this right here in the center. We're coming off our shoulder. I preach a lot of times with the Holy Spirit on my shoulder, and that's scriptural. The Greek word for Holy Spirit, paraclete, parallel, alongside, yes, our friend, our partner. But in the true sense of Scripture and the greatest commandments, the more truthful, the more proper way to present him is this way. And I believe that's what you want. If you're telling me the truth on your text, that's what you want to do. And this is the most elementary message I've ever preached. I mean, when I get done, you're going to think, man, a kindergarten class wouldn't have been more simple than that. But Pastor Bishop used to say, the hardest thing to get a church to do is the simple things. You ask somebody to do some complex task or take a difficult position, oh, sure, I'll give my best, and Pastor, I'll get... But just to consistently do obedience, we have trouble with. Anybody? Consistently do obedience. And I believe before the return of the Lord, and I believe we're in the season of the return of the Lord, and I believe we're nearing His coming, and I believe we're nearing the seven-year tribulation period, and that time of the rapture of the church, and no man knows the day or the hour, so don't let people say, oh, it's this exact time, we figured it all out, and don't read anything into that. I think there's very godly men in high places who God has given insights. One Jewish man especially, I think, has some special insights. But no man knows the day or the hour of the rapture. But the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, it says in Thessalonians. So, we're nearing the time of the return of Christ, and what He wants us to do is to wear this in our coat. He wants us to get this thing right here at the center of us so we're operating out of it. And I want to do that better than I ever have before. I believe that there's some things that God wants to do if we'll come to a place of full surrender and obedience that will speak to this community like never has been spoken before. I don't know what it means, and I will not predict, because I will not put God in a box and say how He's going to do something. Because just as soon as you think He's going to slay the Egyptian army with fire and brimstone, He'll open the Red Sea and make a path and do it that way. And then after you've gone through, He'll drown them in the water. He doesn't do it the way you think He's going to do it. But He comes through for us, and I want to see the Lord work in a mighty way in our lives, but it's tied to surrender and getting Jesus at the center of our life. You guys, this is the most simple kindergarten message you could have, but you don't have to have a church dogma book. You don't have to have a bunch of doctrines written down. You don't have to have a bunch of rules. All you have to do is look down here and say, can I take Him with me where I'm going? Is He going to be comfortable in where I'm going? Is the Holy Spirit, who is easily grieved, going to be okay with what I'm choosing to do? Don't make this harder than it is. Don't turn it into legalism. I know there's been past groups that are legalistic. You don't have to tell me about that. I grew up in that generation. I'm an expert on it. One of the reasons I got bitter as a teenager is because I saw people that had all the rules, but they didn't seem to have any heart. Anybody felt that way before? Yeah, I'm just being honest. One of the reasons I got bitter as a teenager is because I saw people that kept all the rules, but they didn't seem to have the heart. We'd even go to pastors' homes. Daddy was a traveling evangelist. And we'd go to pastors' homes, and I would, as a kid, you know, God had given me a good mind, and I would watch, and I would think, you know, this guy that we're staying with in his home for 2 weeks while Daddy's doing a two-week revival, they're pastor and wife, but man, I would see how they, I thought, where's the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness that's in Galatians? Something's missing here. They knew all the church hymns, you know, and they were on Sunday school a long time. And I saw a lot of that, and I think that has turned a lot of people a wrong direction. Don't get lost in that. Don't get lost in that. You get lost in the why this, why that, I don't understand this. You get lost in that, you'll never come out. Jesus is calling us back. We're in the last days. We're in the gleaning of the fields. Andy, we're in a time period where Billy Graham has died, David Wilkerson had died, and that's not to say they were the only ones, but I believe that was a sign to me, because those men meant a lot in my life. And the harvest is past. Now we're gleaning the fields. We're inviting the highways and hedges. That's why I don't say it boastfully, but on what's on outside the building, Isaiah 61, that we're on target. I think we're on target on what we're doing. I think we understand the time we live in, not putting ourselves above any church or anything like that. There's some powerful churches in our community. But I've said this last week, and I'll probably say it more. I believe we're in touch with where we are in time and what we're to be. And it's time to get back to basics. It's time to get God into the center of us and take Him to work with us. And in all I do, I honor Him. Does that make sense? Is this an honorable thing that God would want me to do? Is this an honorable thing that God would want me to say? How does God feel about this? I was encouraged with your texts, and I think that you're very serious. Let's seek God's Spirit within. Now, He can't fill a vessel that's got all kind of junk in it. So keep that emptying process going. He can't fill a vessel that has all kind of junk in it. So keep that emptying process going. Abide with me. Never leave. Be ever close. Behold, I want to do a new thing. I want to please you, Lord, in all that I do. I want to go now to Psalms 91. This is one of my favorite chapters. Stay with me. You're going to get some good out of this. And I'm going to quit sooner than I did last week. You wait and see. You don't believe me. Psalms 91. This is awesome passage of Scripture. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. I love the music here. We're not bragging on ourselves. I love the music here because it's so based in Scripture. I don't know how many songs we have just from those first three verses. I will trust in you. I've been delivered. Abide with me. On and on it goes. He that dwelleth in that secret place of the Most High. He that dwelleth. I like the word dwell. It's old English. But he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. How do you do that? How do you do that? Simple, basic, elementary message. I'm going to talk to you this morning about just how do you do that. Pastor, that appeals to me. I like this dove thing you got going on there. I'm going to have to twist your arm on some of you about wearing it to work. Shouldn't, but might have to. I like this dove thing you got going on. I think that illustrates it really well. So just how do you abide? We're going to talk about that this morning. Just how do you abide in Him? Well, first, the given is we must receive Him. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Sound familiar? We sing a song like that this morning. I am a child of God. So he that dwells, he wants you to live. Pastor, I think that's an extreme. You know, you I understand what you're saying. Church is all good and all that stuff. But I think that this is a little extreme. You know, you're supposed to just take God with you. He that dwelleth. Dwell in the Hebrew, which is, of course, the original language of the Old Testament, too. That's where you inhabit. That's where you live, and He lives there with you. I find that the more I include God in the details, even the small details of my life. Anybody seeing that? I see some of you nodding. The more I involve God, even in the very small details of my life, the more He shows up in those details. Just the smallest of things. He that dwelleth in the secret place to the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He will deliver thee. I've been delivered. From the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Got to take an exit ramp right there, just for a second. He said, don't be afraid of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. God gave me this scripture back in 2005, 2006. They gave me the first round of chemo, which is about takes you out. I was getting ready for the high dose. Had three rounds. I had Rubicin and Araci. Said it's the strongest chemo amount that they can give you and it not kill you. And I was nervous about high dose because I'm a preacher and I love to speak of the Lord, and that's my vocation. And they said, we're going to have to do neurological tests along the way because this will mess with your mind. And so we'll do treatments and then we'll take a break a day or two and we'll test you, you know, and see how you are, how your thinking is, how your balance is, all this kind of thing. And so I was pretty uptight about this. I said, so when do we start? And they said, show up here at noon tomorrow and every day after. That morning I got up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning to have my devotions and time with God. And I said, Lord, prepare me for the chemo, the destruction, it has crossbones on the bag. And I opened the Bible and it fell open to this. I'll protect you from the destruction at noonday. Ain't that cool? At noonday. You can say, Pastor, that's out of context. God can do what he wants with his word. I had the Lord speak to me about a horse one time out of a scripture, and it was totally out of context. Now, I don't think we should misuse the scripture and turn it to our agenda. There's a difference between applying to what the word's saying versus taking something and twisting it to fit our agenda. I love these passages. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. Can I tell a brief little story about that one? Patty said, okay. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but thy shall not come nigh thee. We were laying in the modular home that burnt, and we were sound asleep, Pam and I, and all of a sudden we heard the awfulest crash you ever heard in your life, and the ground shook like I thought something blew up out at the base or at the fusee factory over there. I thought this is something serious. I thought, or we got attacked by somebody. I mean, the ground shook. And a tree that I could only, if I used my hands, could only get halfway around it. It was that big. Had been rotting underneath and we didn't know it, and it fell. And one of our sons was sleeping in a mobile home right there on our property, had gone through some difficulties and needed to be on his own, but yet needed to be close to us in this particular situation due to some issues. And he was asleep in that trailer. That tree fell, and I don't know how in the world it missed that trailer. But that tree fell. I'm talking a huge tree. I'm talking a tree that if the roots were at the sound booth, you know, the top of it would be here. This was a gigantic tree. And it fell, and when it hit the ground, it shook everything. And when I went out and looked, I thought, oh man, it probably crushed that trailer and probably killed him. When I realized what happened, when I went out there to see where it had fallen, it had just been, I think it was pushed to fall just to the end of the trailer. And God spoke to me from this passage and said, 1,000 pounds shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it will not come nigh thee. So, does that mean we'll never have anything bad happen in our life? No. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you are with me. That doesn't mean the tree won't fall. But he said he'll come through at the end of the story. It's a happy ending. I just texted somebody yesterday that's struggling tremendously, and I said, this story has a happy ending. I don't know what it is. I don't know what curves and valleys there may be, but this story has a happy ending. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Because you're living there, that's your habitation. You're living there. No evil befall thee, neither will any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he'll give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they'll bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You'll tread on the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon thou shalt trample under feet. Because, I like this, because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. Because he's, why? Well, he did everything right, so we're going to send the delivery ambulance for him. No, as well as that. Boy, he sure did everything to the T. No. Because he loved me. Some of you struggling pretty hard. You come out of difficult lives. But I've watched you while we're singing, and I believe that you love the Lord. Because he loved me, I'll deliver him. This is consistent through Scripture. Devil wants to constantly tell you how awful you're doing. Devil constantly wants to get out the spiritual report card and tell, look at all the D's you have. Because he loves me, I'll deliver him. Now, does that require anything of us? Yes. If I love Pam, there's some rules connected with that. If I love Jesus, I'm going to honor Him. I'm going to honor Him in what I do. So yes, if you love me, keep my commandments. We read in John. But I think we've grown up in an era, especially in this area of the Midwest. Please don't be offended. But I grew up in the Holiness Movement. I grew up in the Holiness Movement. Kind of swept through Peru. I'm not saying that. Holy is a powerful word and God's holy. Absolutely. But it was a legalistic teaching that didn't have a lot of heart in it in many cases. Not all. Not all. But in many cases. And a lot of this area has been affected by that. Because He loves me, I will deliver Him. I'm not glorifying sin. You know I don't do that. We try to preach a hard and straight truth. But when it came time to go back to the Father, Jesus did not say to Peter, "Now, Peter, do you have the Sermon on the Mount all memorized? I went over that several times with you. Peter, do you have everything just right? Do you remember those things I said there when I healed the blind man? Do you remember? You can use that for sermon material." No, He said, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" Three times, "Do you love me?" It's awesome that clear back here, under the law of the Old Testament, because He has set His love upon me, I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. He'll call on me and I'll answer Him. I'll be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. Well, He must have some problems in His life, because you wouldn't have to be delivered if you weren't in trouble. So you're going to have some trouble. In the world, you will have tribulation. Some of it's our own making. Some of it's a product of a cursed world. But because He loves me, I will deliver Him, and with long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. I can't pass up that verse, because that's the verse God gave Pam. God gave Kevin the verse about Lazarus, "This sickness is not unto death." But He gave different ones in the family different verses. We'll go through all those. But He gave Pam the verse with long life. I was 50 at the time when they said I was going to die. That's not long life as an American. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Abiding in Him. God is calling us as a church this year to abide in Him. Get the Spirit of God in the center of our being. Our minds are often cluttered. Now, what does it mean? Here comes the simple part. What does it mean to abide in Him? All right, let's try this. What does it mean to abide in your phone? Some of you laughed. What does it mean to abide in your phone? Stay with me. I saw a guy the other day that was abiding in his phone. Right, Greg? We were eating out with the Gatchels over in Wabash, and there was a guy that from the time he sat down in Bob Evans, an hour and a half, hour, he was abiding in his phone. He was totally engulfed in his phone. Now, I like this phone, and it's real handy in the ministry, and I love texting because you can get a lot of messages at once. But what's it mean to abide in your phone? I think we all know. You go to the airport and look around, and everybody's just sitting there. Abiding in my phone. What captivates you? What are you allowing yourself to be addicted to? We can't figure out why we can't get the precious dove at the center, but we're not abiding in Him. You with me? We're not abiding in Him. He's not the center of our focus. Our hearing of God's voice is muffled. Our hearing of God's voice is muffled because of too much clutter. I was in the barn, and we have two fence chargers, one that runs the back of the property and one runs the front. And I always listen. Mike, when you help me out, if Mike's not in here, when Mike looks after the place, him and Marley, when we're gone, I always tell him, check the chargers. The chargers have a pretty good strong click, 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 and there's a certain volume there. Well, I bundled all up, went out to feed the horses and take care of my sweet little colt. And when I walked in the barn, I thought, those chargers don't sound right. They're real soft. That's not good. Because the louder the charge, the more noise the charger makes. I thought something wrong. I looked at the gauges. The gauges seem okay, but just click, 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 click. And I thought, oh boy, it's all muddy and nasty, and I'm going to have to walk all the fences. Probably a limb has fallen and taken the fence down, and I got a short somewhere, and so I got to mess with all that. And so I went ahead and fed the horses, and I went back over and looked at the chargers again. You know, I got that feeling like you have, you know, and you're like, oh shoot, this is going to take a couple hours to walk around, try to figure out what's wrong. And then I remembered, Andre, this is embarrassing. Then I remembered that I had earmuffs on. I have a real tight pair of heavy earmuffs, man. And you're talking about feeling stupid. I'm standing in the barn, I bust out laughing. And I pulled those earmuffs down, and that charger's fine. Clack, clack, clack. And as I walked away, I thought, Lord, don't let me spiritually. What's the matter with this thing? This Christianity thing ain't working. I'm not getting any charge. I'm not getting any vibrance out of this. I'm not getting anything out of this. You got your earmuffs on. You're cluttering the sound waves. You're not hearing. Oh, he's speaking. You know the old saying they put on church signs? God seemed far away. Guess who moved? Yeah. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Don't make this abide thing complicated. What is he saying to you? Let's just take it at face value and not make a theological lesson out of it, for heaven's sakes, like we always have to do. What's he saying? Get me at the center and abide in it. You all know how to abide in your phone. I don't get mad. I've had days I abided in my stupid phone. In fact, I had told Pam one time, I said, I'm going to throw this in the Eel River. And then I remembered the church got it for me, and Bob Hilbert gave me this one. And the church got the plan. I thought, I probably shouldn't do that. But I was going to just watch it zing. You know that guy in that commercial? And he says, I'm going to regret that. I almost did that once. I'm having fun with this, but we know how to abide in other things. We have some good friends, distant relatives of ours that we love dearly, but he and his wife abide in movies. Nothing wrong with a movie. We like movies. I like Hallmark movies. I just get embarrassed when they kiss. Pam thinks that's hilarious. I like Hallmark movies. I like something that gets my mind off of things, because 1 to 10, most of my thoughts are 8 or above. And I've learned, because God teaches you, the Spirit teaches you, I've learned that I need a little therapy, like a motorcycle or two in the garage. And I need a little therapy where they aren't all heavy thoughts. Because when it's all 8 or above, you get burnt out and then you can't figure out why you can't function. And you need something for rest and relaxation. So there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a difference between enjoying a good movie with your wife and sitting there and enjoying it and tears running down your face and enjoying a good story versus abiding in movies. I know people that abide in movies. Their whole life is movies. That's all they... Okay, I'm not picking on anybody or saying anything. I'm just saying I think we know how to abide more than we realize. Okay? So, I forgot to tell you this. I left this out. I'm glad that showed up. All right, you're going to think, when I leave today, you're going to say, I like our pastor. Well, hopefully. You say, I like our pastor, but sometimes he's a little out there. When I say this, I'm going to challenge some of you who are new Christians to start texting Jesus. What do you think about that? Yeah. Make a contact I call mine faithful friend. Then you can set. Everybody else is on their phone. Talk to Jesus on your lunch hour. Anybody ever write a prayer? Yeah. When I can't stay focused, little one-on-one, elementary, kindergarten lesson, but this will be life-changing if you do it. I'm not apologizing for saying this is a kindergarten lesson. It is, but it'll be life-changing if you do it. When I get overwhelmed and can't stay focused, anybody have ADD? I'll write my prayers. I'll lay out my legal pad, turn on my little clip light that I got as a gift. I like that clip light. We might have another one sometime. Turn on that light, and I write, "Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Having trouble focusing this morning, please hear me as I share with things. By the time dawn I get to the three quarters down the page, I'm in the spirit of prayer and I got focused." And sometimes I just drop the pen and go ahead and pray. Other times, okay, if you can write a prayer, why can't you text one? The hairs of our head are numbered. I'm trying this hard as a pastor to get people to pray. On your lunch break, sit in the break room and write a prayer to Jesus. Faithful friend, heaven, 574-721-5153. That's my number. You can send a text to yourself. Nobody else reads it. But you title it Jesus or whatever you want. That's not crazy. Things are changing. How we communicate changes. Beat the devil. Beat the devil. I'm not doing that on purpose. I wouldn't do that with truth. Instead of spending 3 hours on Facebook hearing everything that aggravates you, we're talking about abiding. You know why I'm pushing this so hard? Because there came a time in my life where I wanted this so bad that I started clearing out the clutter, and that's when the change happened. Are you listening? There came a time in my life where I got so desperate, I thought, I'm going to clear out the clutter. Pastor Bishop would pull on us and pull on us and pull on us. Put God first, put God first. If you walked up and said, "I love my Chevelle," he'd say, "No, you like your Chevelle, you love the Lord." And we'd say, "Excuse me." Okay? When I cleared out the clutter, Vince, and I got serious, and I'm going to pray today, and if I got too much ADD to pray, then I'm going to write it, and if I can't write it, I'm going to text it, and heaven knows I lose it. I'm here on Sunday, and they're singing, and I mean it, and I come to the altar, and I mean it, and I cry when they do it, and I mean every bit of it, but by Tuesday, it seems like I lost it. Abide. Listen to Scripture. You all have a Bible app if you don't get YouVersion. It has audio. Do you know that the last thought you think affects you? Go to sleep with earbuds in, playing the 91st Psalm. Go to sleep listening to the Sermon on the Mount. We know how to abide in movies. We know how to abide, and it's okay. I know how to abide in horses. Oops, boy, you don't want that to happen. We know how to abide. I know how to abide in horses. What does it mean to abide in horses? I've had periods of time in my life where I was abiding in horses and I got my priorities out of order. What does it mean to abide in horses? It means that I read horse magazines, Robbie, and I subscribe to all the horse magazines, and I have horses, and I mess with horses, and my friends all have horses, and we talk about horses. Hello, that's abiding in. Jesus said, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High is going to be under the shadow of the Almighty." Abide in that. Simple, simple, simple stuff, but it's life-changing. I'm serious about this. I'm going to challenge some of you that are younger Christians that haven't established a pattern of prayer. Those of you who have established a pattern of prayer, you don't need to do this. Don't go home. No, pastor said we got a text now. No. I'm trying to get you on the wagon here. If you got your own way, do it. But do it and make sure you're abiding, and it'll show some fruit. But some of you that are struggling with this, take the medium that you already understand and beat the devil. You with me? Take the medium that you already understand and beat the devil. and sit on your lunch break. And they're over there, and they're all mad because, you know what they said? You know, and they're all ticked off, and somebody else is over here watching their 150th YouTube video for the day, for heaven's sakes, with a bunch of clutter that you don't need. And you can be grinning to yourself because you're like, I'm over here praying. You know, I'm over here praying. Dear Jesus, help me this afternoon to keep the spirit. Had somebody text me that I value greatly this week and say, I'm having a rough time at work today. I'm praying, will you pray that I can show a good spirit to the people I wait on today? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lord, help this person, this precious person, to reach out to you and to feel your presence, to keep abiding through the day despite the clutter. Abide in me. He's calling us, CMO. He's calling us. I believe that if we'll do this, that God is going to work in this outreach ministry in a way that'll boggle our minds. And I'm going to tell you something I've told you before, but I'm going to tell you again. There were a number of verses God gave me at Praise Mountain in Colorado. Most of those have been fulfilled. One of them is on the other side of the wall as you come in from the coffee house. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to your mind, but you'll rejoice in what I create. That's been fulfilled. There were some troubles and difficulties in the move. Moves are never easy. We're not mad to anybody. We don't blame anybody. That's the honest truth. But there's troubles and difficulties when you change and move and do things. God spoke to me and said, those former things, you won't even remember it, but you'll rejoice in what I create. That has happened. I love every church I've ever pastored. I've always loved my congregation, but this one is the trophy, in my opinion. There's numerous verses God gave me, and I have them written down and journaled. But there's a verse He gave me twice. It's in the Old and New Testament both. It's requoted in Acts. But there's a verse He gave me twice that I don't know what it means. And the verse is this, I will do something in your day, and that's the NIV, I will do something in your day that you would not believe if someone told you. I don't know what that means, but that hasn't happened yet. Because everything that's happened, oh, it's been some marvelous things, but I believe Him, and I believe that's how God works. He said, I'm going to do something in your day. That's before I go to be with the Lord. That you won't believe if someone told you. I don't know what that is, nor am I going to put God in a box and make predictions, but I believe it's tied to what I'm preaching on. If you can get a congregation that says, I'm not going to abide in this and this and this and this and this, and there's good things out there you can abide in. There's people that abide in good works. They're constantly volunteering in the community. They're good people. They're constantly, they have good hearts, and they're constantly, but I'm saying there's something higher than that. Is what I'm saying to you. And good works won't get you to heaven. But if we'll abide in Him and keep Him at the center and truly seek that all I do, I honor you. We don't need that rule book. That's too heavy. We can't carry that thing. That's too heavy. We can't carry that thing. But what we can do is go through life saying, Lord, are you pleased with this? Lord, is this conversation going south? Are you pleased with it? I almost wonder if we shouldn't have a dove right here to remember and not something to idolize, for God is chosen to be unseen except on occasion. Abide in Him. If you got something working, you can ignore this, but I want you to give some thought to this, because some of you, the mediums and type things you use, you've got to get God in everything, and I would encourage you to consider praying in that manner, if you would be open to that. All right. 3 month challenge. I was going to have Dan Piper see if he'd come up and say something, but I didn't do that because I knew I'd talk too long anyhow. But Dan was out at the McGrawsville Church when I did a men's retreat out there, and I was privileged, honored to be asked to be the speaker a number of years ago. The end of 2011, actually. And I gave a 3 month challenge. And the reason I'm referring to Dan, not to embarrass him, but Dan took that challenge. When he started coming here to church, he said, you remember coming to the men's retreat? And I said, absolutely. He said, you remember the challenge you gave for 3 months? Similar to this one, Dan. He said, I did it. And it made a difference. It made a difference. How do we abide in Him? Practical kindergarten 101 stuff. 20 minutes of prayer. And read one chapter every morning. Now, I hope some of you that walked with the Lord a few years are praying more than that. And I hope you're studying and reading and you've got it structured well. But this is kind of getting started, okay? Getting started. 20 minutes of prayer. How do we abide in Him? 20 minutes of prayer and read one chapter every morning. I'd suggest the book of John. I know Vince read John. I don't know how many times you read the book of John in prison, but it definitely made a difference in your life. Number two, I've referred to doing this myself years ago, so you're familiar with it. Write a verse of Scripture on a card, or you can make it your phone wallpaper in the morning. Doesn't take a minute to do that. And memorize a verse of Scripture. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Well, Pastor, I just keep falling back into temptation. We've got to get the word in us. Okay? Now, you can memorize 100 scriptures and not know the Lord. And can I say something about that? I've had people say to me, "Well, I can't remember. I can't do that." Did any of you know Larry Sossman? He's with the Lord now. Did any of you know Larry Sossman, the mailman? Okay, I knew Larry for years, worked at Kroger's when he first became a Christian. Larry and I were good friends. Larry came in one day, we'd go to lunch together, and he was going through a hard time in his life, and his family was having problems, and I was spending some time with him on my lunch break. And he came in one day and he said, "I got a great job opportunity, I'll be able to leave Kroger's." And I said, "Well, we've been praying about that." And he said, "I got a job opportunity at the post office." This is way back when he started. And he said, "Back then, that's a pretty good job." And he said, "It's a good paying job." And he said, "You got to help me." And he got out this stack of flashcards out of his pocket that was all in his writing. He said, "Saturday, I have to take a test, and I got to learn 500 addresses between now and Saturday." He said, "Will you help me?" So I started helping him. And he used flashcards, and he learned 500 addresses and passed that test. We can do what we want to do. If you want to abide in Jesus, you can. You know how to abide in your phone, and so do I, and I know how to abide in horses, and I know how to abide in hunting. How do I abide in hunting? I get new hunting clothes, and I go hunting, and I read about hunting, and I hang out with guys that hunt, and that can be healthy and good. There's nothing wrong with hunting. But we know how to abide in something. Hello? Why it's the simplest message in the world. Abide in Jesus. Get your mind flooded. Go to sleep at night, listen to Scripture. When your feet, Pastor Bishop used to say, "I won't turn and put my feet on the floor without thanking God in the morning." Remember that, Mike? He said, "When I turn to go to put my feet on the floor, before my feet touch the floor, I thank the Lord for the day and ask Him to speak to me and draw me to Himself." That's how you abide. Don't make it difficult. The devil wants to make it complicated and all theological, and how in the world I do this? I'm going to need to read all these books. No. Hang out with Jesus, He starts rubbing off on you. Hello? Hang out with Jesus, He starts rubbing off on you. 20 minutes of prayer. Beginners, listen up. 20 minutes of prayer and read a chapter every morning. Recommend a book of John. That's up to you. Write a verse on a card or make it your phone wallpaper, put it in your pocket, memorize it. You know, you can memorize the first verse here, Psalms 91. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty." I know you can memorize that. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty." Then tomorrow you do verse 2, and then the next day you do verse 3, and you're going to be so proud of yourself, and confidence will build, and then you'll think, "Man, I'm doing this thing," because in 2 weeks you say, "I know a chapter by memory." You want to hear it? I memorized that. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him shall I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noise of pestilence." Why is that valuable? So you can be impressed? No. When I was riding down in the emergency situation on the way to Indianapolis, when I found out I had cancer and probably wouldn't live the day, those verses were going through my mind like a recorder. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." The word of God is powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. We're trying to fight the battle, and we don't have a sword. Are you listening? We're trying to fight a battle, and we don't have the sword. Hello, you don't have enough willpower to make it through a smutty mouth factory all day and stay straight. You have not got the willpower. So quit saying, "I think I can do this thing, I'll try harder." We got to get this is what we have to have. People say, I can't do it. I say, you're right, you can't. And they're like, what kind of answer is that? But you can with the empowerment of God's Spirit. Do you know how many times I've said to Pam, maybe you should just tell him. I'd say to her, I don't have energy to preach this morning. I am so exhausted when I'm done with all of our songs and preaching. I can't put into words how exhausted I am on Sunday afternoon. I'm so empty, it's pathetic. I'm just weepy and I'm a mess. And I don't know how many times I've said to her, I don't think I can do this morning. I don't have the emotional energy for it. I don't think I can do it. But I've sat over in that chair when I felt so empty that you had no clue how empty I felt. And I've said, Lord, I've sought you the best of my ability. I'm going to walk over and open my Bible and I'm going to start talking. And I'll get energized in about 30 seconds. He's no respecter of persons. He'd do the same thing for you. But we're trying to fight a battle without a sword. We're not equipped. Let's not make it complicated. You don't have to go out and buy 30 new devotionals and reference books. I'm not making fun. There's great devotionals. I love some of them. And if you got something that's working for you, don't let me but we got some beginners that they don't know how to do this. I think they want to abide. I read their text. I read their goals. I was so moved. I think they want to abide, but they don't know how to do it. And this is how you do it. Put a verse on a card. Every break and lunch, text Jesus. Yes, texting. It's all right. Use the medium you're used to. I was worried about that the other day. I felt like the Lord said, train them to text me. He'll listen. He wants to talk to you. If I want to hear from you, Kevin, I don't care. You can use WhatsApp. You can use text. You can drop by and knock a note. You can say, can I talk to you after church? If I want to talk to you, I'm not worried about that, how you do it. He wants our communication. He's anxious to spend time with us. He wants to dwell with us under the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that a pretty picture? Under the shadow of the Almighty. The wings. Oh, I'm underneath. I'm underneath the wings of the protection. In a cruel, hard, cold world, I'm under the wings of His Spirit. That's awesome. Don't miss church. Almost done. Don't miss church. Come to church. Pastor Bishop, you say if the lights are on, be there. I realize work schedules and things don't always allow people to do that. But I cannot tell you the value of Pam and I attending church for the last 45 years. The value of consistently doing it. No, every sermon isn't wonderful. And every week, if every high was an ultimate high, you know, every day, Sunday isn't going to be ecstasy. So, consistency. Consistency, consistency. Come regularly. Make yourself. That's how we abide in Him. If I put myself with God's people, I start my day with God's Word. On my break time, even if I, you know, it isn't appropriate, you know, kneel down in the break room, can, I guess, and pray. But, you know, use the medium you know. Don't miss church. Listen to Scriptures as you go to sleep. And obey, yes. Do what He tells you, because as you do this, He'll begin to speak to you. I have people tell me God didn't ever speak to me, but they don't abide in Him. Now I'm almost done. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 was the first sermon I ever preached. I don't think I put that on here. I didn't. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is the first sermon I ever preached. Some of you know the verse. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. How many of you are familiar with that verse? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, there's stuff I haven't got an answer to. As a pastor, there's something I'll say, I don't know. Why'd this happen, Pastor? I don't know. I don't know why it happened. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And I like the way the NIV says it. In the King James, it says He'll direct your paths. In the NIV, which is actually, with that passage, is a little more accurate translation from the Hebrew, it says He'll make your paths straight. Anybody remember geometry class? What's the definition of a straight line? The closest distance between two points. God didn't intend for your life to be a mess. and you to be all over the place. The shortest distance is a straight line between two points. He'll make your path straight. He'll get you there as quick as he can, his way, and you won't spend your life wandering in the wilderness. Anybody wandered in the wilderness? Yeah, I have. He'll make your path straight. Well, one of the first definitions you get in geometry is the definition of a straight line. It's the shortest distance between two points. God didn't intend for life to be a mess. He didn't intend for us to be in shambles by the time we were 25. He didn't intend that. I'm not knocking it. That's why we start over. Behold, I do a new thing. What he did intend, though, is to offer you eternal life and give you a chance to start over. But to see the benefits of that, you got to abide in him. Because he loves me. Because he abides in me. I'll call. You can call and I'll answer. And I'll deliver you from the serpent and the lion, and his angels will give charge over you. Who is that for? Is that just for anybody out there? Has God a slot machine? Put in your quarter and holler in Jesus' name and you get the benefits? No. When you abide in him, doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you won't daily make mistakes and daily have to repent. But the choice to abide in him. All right. That's enough. That's real simple. But I'm going to tell you something that's life-changing. That will change you. Dan Piper came up to me and said, "You remember the challenge you gave us at the men's retreat in 2011? I did it. I did it." And he said, "You told us in 3 months to tell us this was a lot longer than that since I'd seen him." But he said it made a difference. It made a huge difference. And it was a milestone in his life. Simple things. God will do it. And this is 1 minute before, quicker than last week. Let's stand together.